I hope all of us will remember that tonight in this chapel, the seminary chorus, on the direction of Ben Johnson, will give a concert. Max Smith will be at the organ. I'm sure all of us will take note of this and make every effort to be present. Dr. C.S. Garrison, who is our guest minister this morning, Executive Secretary of the Georgia Baptist Convention, will be on the campus today and will be available for interviews with anyone who desires to locate in Georgia, let's say, or anyone who wishes to talk with him about anything. He may be seen in the fieldwork office from 11 to 12 or 12:30 today. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The responsive reading, number 101. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we do pray that we may have quiet hearts, that there may be peace in our minds, and that we may be reconciled to Thee in the Holy Spirit. Help us in this hour to rediscover our spiritual resources, and help us, O God, to live from day to day the victorious, overcoming, glad Christian life. We thank Thee for the privilege of worship. We are grateful for our visitor this morning. We thank Thee for his life and his influence. We pray thy blessings upon him as he speaks to us and as he has fellowship with us on this campus. Bless our coming together. Accept our gratitude, we pray, for this brief period of worship. May our minds and our hearts be open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It is a great pleasure for me personally this morning to welcome our speaker and to introduce him, Dr. C.R.C. Garrison, who is the Executive Secretary of the Georgia Baptist Convention. I came much more closely acquainted with Dr. Garrison last summer at Ridgecrest, and there I learned his gracious spirit and his progressive mind. And so I thought it would be very fine if we had this splendid state secretary to come and speak for us at a chapel service and meet with the students from Georgia. And incidentally, there will be this afternoon from 3 to 4:30 in the Bethay Room a reception for Dr. Garrison. All members of the faculty and staff are invited, and particularly all students from the state of Georgia. Dr. Garrison is a graduate of Mercer University, from which institution he received the AB degree and the honorary DD degree. He has held pastorates, several important pastorates in the state of Georgia, and he has had a number of other honors which I shall not undertake to recite, one of these being membership on the Foreign Mission Board. And for a number of years, he has been the State Secretary of Georgia. We welcome him with open hearts this morning. We are very happy indeed, Dr. Garrison, to have you on our campus.
Thank you, Dr. McDowell, for your gracious word of welcome and for the privilege of fellowship with you on the campus today and in this worship service. You will please permit me to say that your own life and ministry has been an inspiration and benediction to me since the time at a reception for freshman students at the Southern Seminary, I heard you and Mrs. McDowell sing, "Lord, What a Morning." And through these years, your ministry has been a blessing to me. I'm happy to have the privilege of being on the campus. This is my first opportunity to share with you in the fellowship of worship. I take great joy and pride in the development of this institution. And on behalf of Georgia Baptist, I would like to express my gratitude for the contribution which this institution is making to Baptist life in our state, across the nation, and around the world. May I read selected verses from the first chapter of the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go." Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people. God is continually revealing himself to persons who have eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to believe, and wills to obey. God is also communicating himself continually with the fellowship of believers, with the community of the called. And from generation to generation, God has commanded the community of the believers to move forward in their efforts to share knowledge of Him and experience with Him with other people in a ever-expanding community. From generation to generation, God has urged that His people move forward in an effort to establish His kingdom in the lives and hearts of people and in the communities in which they dwell. I think this may be seen as we make a review of the record of Revelation. When God communicated himself to Abraham, it was to say, "Go, I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing." When God communicated himself to Moses, it was to command him to go to Egypt, to speak to Pharaoh and to his own people and to the people of Egypt. And as Pharaoh and Israel paused in danger at the Red Sea, looking heavenward for a new revelation of power, God spoke to say, "Move forward." A generation passed and Moses was gone. Joshua had been called to responsible leadership. And again, God spoke to say, as it were, "An era has passed, but a new day is dawning. Arise, go over this Jordan and possess the land which I have promised to Moses and to your fathers and to you." The command to that generation of the called was to move forward. We listen in as the Master speaks with the disciples after his earthly ministry. In preparing to return to the Father, he's concerned about the carrying on of his ministry, of his work, when he wouldn't be no longer with the disciples in the flesh to lead them. We listen to him as he says, "The work that I have done ye shall do, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." Or again, "As the Father has sent me into the world, even so send I you. Go, teach, baptize, and lo, I'm with you." So Christ spoke to that generation of the called. We look in upon the church in Antioch of Syria a generation later. Barnabas and Saul are enjoying a great ministry here in this pagan city. But the Holy Spirit moves upon the minds and hearts not only of the preachers, but of the community of the believers, saying, "Set apart me these men to the ministry whereunto I have called them." Yes, as we look through the book which gives us a record of God's revelation, we see that generation after generation, God, in revealing himself to the community of the believers, commanded them to move forward in efforts to witness for him and in efforts to establish his kingdom in the life of people and their societies. I'm happy to see this same witness in our own Baptist history. You will recall that William Carey lived in a time when the church was largely content to leave the peoples of the pagan world without the knowledge of Jesus and his gospel. This man, as he studied the scriptures, as he read about the expanding world, and as he prayed, came to have a compassionate concern for those who did not know Jesus and the blessings of faith in him. Then it was on May the 30th, 1792, that William Carey delivered the sermon at the annual meeting of his association. He found God's word for that day in Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. "Enlarge the place of thy tent. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess the nations and will populate the desolate cities." In 1813, we find Luther Rice moving up and down the Atlantic seaboard, challenging the Baptist of America to accept responsibility under the great commission of our Lord. And may it be said to the credit of our fathers in that day, they heard the call of God to advance in the challenge of Luther Rice. And a period of unparalleled progress and development began for Baptists as they undertook to move forward in obedience to the call and command of Christ. You will recall that following the First World War, God spoke to Southern Baptists through great leaders such as Dr. Truett and Dr. Scarborough and Mullins and many others of like mind and spirit across the Southern Convention. And as these men spoke for God in that day, they prevailed upon Southern Baptists to undertake a world ministry commensurate with their faith, with their resources, and world need in that day. And in response, Southern Baptists dedicated themselves to a world mission ministry. There followed the 75 million campaign, out of which Southern Baptists emerged better organized and strengthened for their tremendous task. The Second World War came to an end, and God's apostle of advance to Southern Baptists in that day was Dr. M. Thurman Rankin. I recall in 1948 when he challenged the Foreign Mission Board to move out toward the appointment of 1,750 missionaries in expanded and multiplied mission fields around the globe. At the Southern Baptist Convention that year, this dream, this conviction, this passion was shared with Southern Baptists. And Southern Baptists responded with a commitment of themselves to a program of advance. 1956, Dr. C.C. Warren spoke to the convention, aware, as he stated, that God had been talking with him and that in that hour he was talking for God to Southern Baptists. He challenged Southern Baptists in that day to establish 30,000 new churches and preaching stations by 1964. And there was a response on the part of our people to move forward again in the service of our Lord. The 30,000 movement was begun. I am persuaded that as God has commanded the community of the called in other generations to move forward in His service, in efforts to establish His kingdom in the hearts of men and in the communities in which they live, even so is He speaking to this generation, to His people in our day. Again, God's call and command is to move forward in His service. And I'm happy to observe that with God's call to advance, we have a blessed assurance concerning the future. With God's call to advance, there is the assurance of His presence with us, of His power bestowed, and of our effectiveness so long as we walk in the way of His will and in the way of obedience to His command. Yes, Joshua and Israel might well have said, a golden age is past. But God was saying, a new age is about to dawn. If you can believe me, if you can commit yourselves to me, if you can follow me. And so he speaks to you and to me in this day. The future is bright for us if we can believe and obey and follow. I think this has tremendous implications for each of us as persons with a call from the living God. For the one who receives a call from God also receives a blessed assurance from him of his presence and power and blessing. I'm profoundly convinced that God is calling to Southern Baptists to move forward in this day. And in the conviction that he calls, I find blessed assurance for our denomination in the days which are before us. There are those in our denominational life who are saying that Southern Baptists are sick, quotation. That Baptists have failed in a time of social crisis. That the decline of Southern Baptists has already begun. Just a little while ago, I listened to a respected missionary leader among Southern Baptists say that our missionary program is only mediocre. And still more recently, I've listened to a leader among our people who has said that Southern Baptists are cooling off spiritually, slowing down evangelistically, and leveling off statistically. Anyone knowledgeable about the life of Southern Baptists is aware that we have tremendous problems. Some of these problems are quite acute. But for one, I wish to affirm my confidence, my belief, that our condition is not so serious as indicated by these observations. I rather think that our pains as Southern Baptists are the pains of a growing, developing boy, rather than the pangs which come as a consequence of a deadly disease which is eating away at our lives. I find encouragement as I look into the life of the Baptist in my state and in the life of Southern Baptists as a whole. I'm encouraged by the fact that our people seem to have a sense of mission and a sense of responsibility to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus to our communities and to the world. I'm encouraged by the fact that our Baptist people seem to be aware of the fact that we have problems in our churches and in our denominational life, and that they are greatly concerned that answers be found to our problems and that our mistakes be corrected forthwith. I'm encouraged by the fact that Baptists generally live and labor under a deep conviction that this world is sinful and lost without Jesus Christ, and that they're committed to give themselves in an effort to share Christ and the blessings and the benefits of his gospel with men at home and to the ends of the earth. I'm encouraged by the fact that a recognition of the fact of need and a hunger within the heart for something better, this recognition and this sense of need are within themselves a promise of a better day. I would that we had time to discuss some of the areas in which I have the feeling that Southern Baptists ought to advance in this day. Personally, I feel that the time has come when we ought to emphasize the importance of the development of Christian personality, and that our goal should be the growth and the development of great Christian persons. Dr. J.B. Gambrill used to say, Southern Baptists are many, but they are not much. I can find very little humor in the observation. I find pride in the fact that Southern Baptists are many. Oh, but I long for the day when Southern Baptists will be many and much. Should we not seek to move forward as Southern Baptists in the deepening of the spiritual life and fellowship of our churches? Here we could spend a great deal of time in discussion. I'm persuaded that our ambition should not only be more beautiful buildings, commodious, larger staffs, yes, more enrolled in Sunday school and training union, yes, but I'm persuaded that we ought to have a great concern for our churches developing a Christ-like fellowship. And in praying for a Pentecostal revival in our time, may we also pray for a fellowship within our congregations will make possible God's use of the church as he did on. We are to be effective in our day and generation. I'm persuaded that Southern Baptists must move forward in their efforts to emphasize the moral and the ethical implications of the gospel of Christ. I'm persuaded that Southern Baptists must move forward in their efforts to apply their insights from the gospel and their insights from the Lord Jesus Christ into the social life of the community, the state, and the world. Now, as we move forward in our time, I'm persuaded that just as Joshua made some important discoveries, so shall we and our people in this day. And moving forward at Christ's command, we shall find him in a new and vital experience. And in the midst of the battles we are called upon to fight, we shall find that God himself is involved already in the battle. To that little group of Israelites marching around the city of Jericho, and even to those people, had they not been possessed of a great faith, it might have seemed that they were engaged in an exercise of futility. But God had joined the battle, and Jericho's walls and armed men were no contender at all with God. I'm persuaded that as our generation of Baptists move forward with Christ in an effort to possess this world, we shall find him anew in a vital experience. We shall find him involved in the battles that we ought to win. And I'm persuaded that we shall be victorious, miraculously victorious in our time, because God has not forgotten his promises, and his power is infinite. So God's call comes to you and to me to move forward. May we hear his call and in faith renew our commitment to Him. Shall we pray? We thank Thee, our Father, for Thy call to Christian witness and serving. We would pray that in faith we might move forward in commitment. Bless our efforts and give us victory in the battles that Thou wouldst have us fight. Use Thy servants, Thy churches, and our Baptist denomination in advancing Thy kingdom in this, our day and generation. We humbly pray in Jesus' name.